Welcome to The Gift of Grace with Phil Gigliotti and Stephen Garchar. The Gift of Grace is a program where we read and teach God's Word, proclaiming the kingdom and salvation in Jesus the Messiah. And now, here's your host, Phil Gigliotti and Stephen Garchar.
Well, good evening, everyone, and welcome to The Gift of Grace on the Word 1220. I'm Phil Gigliotti, and I'm here with Stephen Garchar.
Hey, Phil, how are you doing tonight?
Great, thanks. And we're here for another Saturday night of Bible teaching and learning from God's Word, and it's great to be back with you. Last week, if you turned in, you heard Rabbi Eric Lakatos from the Tikvat Israel Messianic Congregation talking about the state of Israel and what it means in prophecy and what it means in our modern times. And I hope you enjoyed that. Tonight, we're going back to our usual format where Stephen and I do some teaching from God's Word and try to explain it a little bit and try to see how it applies in our modern world and in our modern situation. And today we're going to keep talking about the very early church, that group of Messianic Jewish believers that started in Jerusalem. And they had quite an exciting congregation.
Yes.
They knew Jesus, Yeshua, personally.
Started out with 120 people.
Yeah. Holy Spirit fell on all of them, and they all became on fire evangelists. And that was a pretty cool congregation to belong to.
Yeah, always in the upper room praying.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And then we've been going through a series of scriptures and teachings about how the Holy Spirit fell on these people, men and women alike, and how their ministries were then, well, actually their ministries then started.
Yeah.
They were empowered. They were filled with fire and zeal. And they were able to go out into the world and preach the good news and proclaim the kingdom, not only in Israel and not only to Jews, but all around the Mediterranean world and beyond, and bringing even Gentiles into the kingdom.
Even Gentiles.
Even Gentiles. I mean, who'd have thunk that?
Like you and me.
Yeah. And we're pretty happy, as Stephen and I have mentioned before, we're pretty happy to be grafted in.
Amen, brother.
And we of course, are, I'll mention at the beginning, Stephen and I and our lovely wives are Gift of Grace Ministries, and we do a lot of teachings in homes and conferences and churches and whatever else we can get booked at.
A lot of radio shows.
A lot of radio shows. Yeah. And we are very interested in tying together the Tanakh, which you, most of you will know as the Old Testament, the Torah, the prophets, and the wisdom literature and the historical literature of the Old Testament, with the New Testament fulfillment of those things, which of course is in Jesus the Messiah, and the birth of the church and the proclamation of the kingdom to Jews and Gentiles alike.
Right. Yeah. As you're, you know, as you're talking with the introduction there, Phil, it's good to be grafted in, and it is, knowing the roots or the, you know, the history of the church, the roots of, God's plan of salvation in the Old Testament, I think is very important for any believer to grasp hold of the holiness of God and how there was no plan of, well, not, I want to say there wasn't no plan of salvation, but outside of Jesus, there was no salvation as we know it in the Old Testament, as we know it today, because it's by God's grace.
Exactly.
And it's a gift of grace. And
wow, that'd be a good name for a radio show.
That would be an excellent name for a radio show. Wow, I wonder if that's taken. anyway. So, you know, as we've been talking the last several weeks, and, you know, you had Rabbi Eric on last week, and I was going to say yesterday, but it was last week. And, you know, there's a lot of information that's sent out through the airwaves nowadays, and some of it's true and some of it's false. And it's helpful to get to the truth. Mm-hmm. And I think anyone who's, you know, if we stop seeking the truth, then I think we can be carried away by different, you know, we can be carried away by different things if we're, if we're really searching for the truth and really examining it. And I mean that by going before God and praying about it, not doing it outside of God, or not doing it outside of the inspiration of the Holy Spirit, or asking the Holy Spirit to guide you, but to really, really pray and ask God to reveal His truth to you. And, coming before the Lord in your own heart and just asking him to show you things that, you know, that he's revealed in Scripture, mm-hmm. to understand, to have a better understanding of those things.
Yeah.
And I think once you do that, you start to see how the plan of salvation unfolds. This, yeah. You know, it's by the, you know, as we've been talking, it's by the grace and power of the Holy Spirit that God opens our minds and mm-hmm. our hearts to his word.
Mm-hmm.
Just as when Jesus was preaching, and this is probably a better example of what I'm trying to say here. Is that just as Jesus was preaching, he preached in parables, taught in parables, and people didn't, you know, some people didn't understand,
mm-hmm.
others did.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, those who the Holy Spirit falls upon, they will, the word, you know, the word becomes alive.
Mm-hmm.
The word is alive.
Mm-hmm.
And I know when the Holy Spirit, you know, and when I surrendered to the Holy Spirit and was baptized in the Holy Spirit, when I started reading the Bible, things just started making sense.
Mm-hmm.
It's just all, you know, it was just incredible.
Never
because
made sense before this.
Because before I was carnal, mm-hmm. you know, I was up in the flesh mm-hmm. and I didn't understand it.
Mm-hmm.
But when the Holy Spirit fell upon mm-hmm. me, it was like, oh, wow.
Yeah.
And then,
yeah.
you know, the Exodus made, you know, the Passover and the Exodus
wow.
made complete. It was just a complete, everything fit together with
exactly
the, you know, Jesus dying on the cross, the temple being torn in two.
Yeah.
And
the whole plan,
you know,
just unfolded before you.
And you see the relationship yeah. that was broken, that relationship that was broken with God was restored
yes.
by the blood of Christ.
Amen.
And, you know, as you have said, you know, we need to preach Christ and him crucified, just
mm-hmm.
like Paul did.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that's something that's very important, because when you were talking about the first community and how things happened. And I think that's important to understand. How was the first community of believers? What did they do?
Mm-hmm.
You know, is it like our culture today? Is it like our churches today, or was it different? And I think if we study that,
mm-hmm.
we're going to see how they loved each other,
mm-hmm.
and how they gave selflessly of each other for the betterment of the whole community.
Yeah. And they didn't even have a radio show.
They didn't have tracks. They didn't have even have the internet.
They didn't even have guitars.
No, only shofars.
Yeah, yeah. But you know, before you go on, before I forget, the concept you just mentioned of truth is really cool, because you know, when Jesus stood before Pilate, you know, he says, If you know the truth, you hear me. If, you know, I came to testify to the truth. And then yeah. he says, when the Holy Spirit comes, the comforter, the other paraclete that the Father's going to send, he's going to remind you of all the things. He's going to testify to the truth. And,
yeah.
you know, when he fell on that early community, 120.
Yeah.
I mean, that's, you know, not a huge church, 120 people.
No.
When the Holy Spirit falls on them, they are not only emboldened and they're not only out preaching, but all of a sudden now, as you just mentioned, all the things that they had read about in the Torah and the prophets and the Psalms and all these the literature they were familiar with,
mm-hmm.
all of a sudden comes alive.
Right.
And even our friend Peter says, wow, this is the time of
yeah.
Joel chapter 2.
Yeah. And, you know, like, you know, when Jesus was walking on the road to Emmaus
yeah.
and the two disciples are walking, their heads are down, and he says, oh, how foolish and slow of heart you are to believe all that was written of,
yeah.
you know, in the prophets.
Yeah.
And so even though it was written in the prophets and they knew it, their eyes were still
yeah.
closed to it. Their hearts were still closed to
and
it.
And he did an awesome Bible study.
Oh, yeah. Oof. That would have been a good one to go to.
Yeah. It's too bad they didn't write that all down.
Yeah.
But anyway. Yeah. So this, you know, the Holy Spirit brings this new fire. There's this transformation.
Mm-hmm.
And these people are all of a sudden understanding the word. They understand how this plan of salvation unfolds. They understand, they think back to all the prophets that they heard, that they read.
Right.
And thought, wow, now we get what he's talking about. They think back to Jesus in the synagogue at Nazareth saying, you know, today this scripture's fulfilled in your hearing. Mm-hmm. And they thought, man, remember how mad those people got when he said, this is fulfilled now in your hearing, and they were going to kill him?
Yeah.
Now we get what he's talking about. Mm-hmm. Because the Holy Spirit opens their mind, and they just get impacted by everything that they knew in the Word.
Yeah. Yeah, and it's quite a transformation. And I know that you and I, you know, our lives have been impacted by the Holy Spirit, and I know that's why that we preach that, because mm-hmm. we've seen the power of the Holy Spirit in our lives and in the lives of other people.
Yes.
And, you know, unfortunately, sometimes, and I have to look back to where I was at before I responded mm-hmm. to God's grace.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, unfortunately, I really didn't have any questions about salvation. I didn't have any thoughts about, you know, when I'm going to die, where am I going to go? It didn't matter to me. You know,
I didn't think about it.
No, I didn't think about it. But now, when I, you know, now as I meet people and I talk with them, and, you know, they may have the same attitude that I did before, you know, there's a burning desire in my heart to tell them about the mm-hmm. gift of salvation and mm-hmm. to, like, say, hey, you know, turn around. You're going mm-hmm. down the wrong road.
Yes.
You know, and, you know, it's like you're going down this highway and they have the signs, you know, bridge out, or, you know, left lane closed ahead, and you see all the cars speeding up to get ahead of you. It's and it's like, no, you know, you're going to stop, you know, and take a look at mm-hmm. where you're at and what's going on. And in our world today, we see so many things happening, that are causing unrest,
mm-hmm.
you know, financially.
Sure.
And while that can be, disturbing, and it can be unsettling at times, it can be a way of mm-hmm. people coming back to really seeing what's really important.
Yes. Because the world has taken people so far off the course.
Yeah.
And all day long at my job, I witness to people, try to evangelize people, trying to bring people into some focus. And, you know, if I get a little lead in into what's something that's going on in their life, or some word that they say, or some problem that they're having,
yeah,
it's a way to get in and say, well, did you ever think about really what's going on here? And did you ever stop to think, like, why is everything in the world so weird? I mean, many, many people now know that the world's not quite right anymore.
Right.
Something is different. Something's happened.
Mm-hmm.
And people who aren't believers, don't have a clue about the book of Revelation or any kind of end time scenarios, sit in my office and say, yeah, I don't know what's going on, but boy, everything sure is weird.
They sense something
they
is
sense
different.
Something. Yeah. And, you know, some people comically say, oh, there's a disturbance in the force. And, you know, you can use that.
Luke.
Yeah. I mean, you like can use Star that Wars, to go, geez, you ever think about why that is?
Or
do you ever think about what the order of the world is, and,
you
know, what the moral order of the world is supposed to be, and how far we've gone from that?
Yeah.
And it's, you know, you're perfectly, what you're saying is very, very important, because it's also affected the church.
Yes.
The Christian church in the big, you know, broad sense, all the Christian church. Because people don't, you know, even pastors and ministers and priests, and, you know, they don't want people to feel bad, and they want everybody to be happy, and they want everybody mm-hmm. to feel good. And it's taken, you know, we're going to talk a little bit later about how Paul addressed these issues because it's taken people away from the gospel. It's taken people away from the truth that is the good news of Christianity. And so many people, like we talked about a couple of weeks ago, say, well, you know, as long as you're nice to everyone mm-hmm. and you don't hurt anybody, that's what you got to do.
Yeah. I heard a bishop one time say, you know, that authentic transformation is difficult because it requires the person to really look into their mm-hmm. own heart.
Yes.
And to really be honest.
Absolutely.
About who they are. And what they do, and you know, and that's a tall order, I think, a lot of times for people, because
that's one of the things that the Holy Spirit does.
That's one thing the Holy Spirit does. He He transforms your lives by revealing things
yes.
that are, and it's not done in a way of condemnation.
Right.
Because the devil likes to condemn us
yes.
and beat us over the head with the stick of discouragement and all those other
yes.
things. But the Holy Spirit will gently
mm-hmm.
nudge us
mm-hmm.
to say, you know, what you're doing is out of God.
Yes.
You know, and you'll feel that nudging in your heart and you'll go, yeah, I know I shouldn't do that.
Mm-hmm.
And then, you know, if you're on the path, you may think, yeah, but why am I thinking that? You know,
mm-hmm.
and that's really the Holy Spirit trying to work in your life.
Oh, absolutely.
To cleanse you and to purify you, to bring you into
right.
that right relationship with God.
It starts the process of the relationship
yeah.
and the process of sanctification and, you know, the whole journey of trying to be more like Christ and trying to understand what he wants us to do and understand what his word says
yeah.
and understand what the teachings are. And it is so much deeper than, well, Jesus just wants us to be nice to everybody.
Right.
Well, of course he wants us to be nice to everybody.
Yeah.
That goes without saying, but the depth of it is what's been lost.
Right. It's the, you know, it's in Corinthians, but looking at the communities where Paul was preaching, and you know, put away the things of the flesh,
mm-hmm.
and put on the Spirit,
exactly,
because the flesh is going to lead to death,
yes,
and the Spirit's going to lead to life,
yes,
and you know, John the Baptist, when he first started preaching. He was preaching the word. He
mm-hmm.
was preaching a word of repentance for
mm-hmm.
the coming of the kingdom. And when Jesus came and began to, before he was baptized, what John the Baptist said, well, I must decrease and he must
mm-hmm.
increase.
Yeah.
And that's an excellent model for every
sure.
follower and believer of Christ to follow, is that I personally, my own flesh, my own
yes.
thoughts, my own humanness, I have to decrease that and humble
mm-hmm.
myself
mm-hmm.
and you know, it's about surrendering to God.
Yes.
And surrendering, you know, people may say, well, how can you give up your will to God? Well, if you want to be in God's will and you want to be in right relationship with God, your relationship in God
mm-hmm.
is going to be more fulfilling than your own earthly existence
That's
outside
right.
of God.
You have to decrease and he has to
yeah.
increase.
And
that happens to us individually.
Individually, yeah.
Coming to faith, being filled with the Spirit. And, you know, although certain people, you know, in the book of Acts, there's a lot of descriptions about people are set apart,
mm-hmm.
you know, because they're going to be authorities, they're going to be leaders, they're
right.
going to be, you know, whatever your particular church calls them.
Right.
But there is a universal priesthood of believers. We
yeah.
all, as baptized believers, have the responsibility to evangelize and
right.
to preach the good news.
Right. That's what connects us all
right.
is our baptism,
right.
because we're baptized in Christ.
And whether we don't all have to go to a seminary or to a Bible school, we can do that by the very fact that we're believers and we've been baptized and we've been filled with the Spirit. I hear
yeah.
Paul Wilbur.
Is he here?
I think so.
I hope so.
Anyway, I want to remind you, the Gift of Grace is on Facebook. So search Facebook and leave us a message. And on the World Wide Web at www.giftofgraceministries.org. where you can hear some radio shows, see some Bible teachings, and check out what's there, and more things are going to be added soon. So let's listen to Paul Wilbur.
Stay tuned. The Gift of Grace is coming right back, right here on AM 1220 WHKW, The Word.
to The Gift of Grace on AM 1220, The Word.
Well, welcome back, everyone, to The Gift of Grace on The Word 1220. It's Phil Giuliani with Stephen Garchar. And before we go on with our teaching, we have a couple of announcements. So let's start with Steve.
Okay. Our first announcement is the 29th Annual Cleveland Catholic Charismatic Conference, held at Magnificat High School. That's on Rocky River. That's in Rocky River on
Hilliard
Boulevard. There it is. On Friday, July 15th from 7 p.m. to 9:30 p.m. and on Saturday, July 16th from 8:30 a.m. to 9:30 p.m. If you'd like to register, call 440-774-1191. That's 440-774-1191. Or you can email them at conference@oberlin.net. conference@oberlin.net. And there'll be some guest speakers, Peter Herbeck, Mark Nemo, Renee Marazon. And they are excellent teachers, and it is a great time of worship, mm-hmm. Holy Spirit worship in the Lord. And
who's doing the music?
Some guy by the name of Stephen Garchar and his wife Sandy and Denny Carlton. So you may remember Denny, who was on the Gift of Grace.
Like a total Gift of Grace connection.
Yeah, it's a total Gift of Grace connection. So we're doing the music, and we're really honored to be able to do that and lead people into the presence of the Lord.
This is a really awesome conference, and you really ought to come by. There's some really good ministry time. The teachings are excellent. I know the music's going to be excellent. And speaking of excellent music, tomorrow morning, Sunday at 10 a.m. in Parma at New Life Fellowship, which is on Ridge Road. The address is 5994 Ridge Road in Parma. Pastor Dan Short is the pastor there. Steve and Sandy will be doing music for a kind of a special service tomorrow morning on, again, the importance of Israel in our modern time, in the scriptures, and in prophetic history. And I'm going to be there also doing a little bit of stuff, but Steve and his wife Sandy are going to be doing the music. If you get a chance to stop by, it's 10 a.m. on Ridge Road in Parma. So you can actually see Steve.
Actually see me sing and sing worship.
He's an awesome teacher. I mean, singer and teacher. You know him as a teacher, but I can assure you he's an awesome singer.
I can sing a couple of hip bars.
And he does Paul Wilbur music almost as good as Paul Wilbur.
Don't tell Paul that.
He's not listening, so I can say that. But go ahead.
Well, anyway, as we were talking before the break, we were talking about, you know, the first Christian communities, the church today, kind of the state of our world and how people are sensing that something is different.
Mm-hmm.
And the other thing we talked about was transformation.
Yes.
And how do I become transformed by the Holy Spirit? What do I do? Is it something I have to work at? Is it something that, you know, I can earn?
Mm-hmm.
And the answer is no.
Right.
I mean, you're going to cooperate with God's grace.
Yes.
So in a way you're going to work at it a little bit, but mm-hmm. the Holy Spirit will do it. If you allow them.
Yes.
And
it's a free gift.
It's a free gift. And you know, in between the break, we were talking about how in the garden, Jesus says three times, Father, let this cup pass mm-hmm. from me, but not my will, but your will be done.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, Jesus also tells his disciples that no disciple is greater than their master.
Yes.
You know, so who are we mastered by?
Mm-hmm.
Who do we worship?
Mm-hmm.
And if I really want to reflect Christ, do I go into my private prayer time and say, you know, Lord, Father, not my will, but I want your will, Father. I want mm-hmm. your will, God, in my mm-hmm. life, because mm-hmm. I know that that's going to be the perfect plan
yes.
for what you have in plan and in store for me and what you've created me to do.
Yeah.
And that's really important in walking with the Lord and doing ministry because unless God's building the house,
mm-hmm.
man, you're a labor invaded. It's going to really be just going to tire you out.
and it's one of the gifts of the Holy Spirit to be able to sense that and understand that and, you know, be prompted to do the next part of the mission. And, you know, but back to these early believers, you know, they suddenly had this transformation where they had this zeal to preach the word and nothing stopped them. There was opposition. The religious authorities opposed him.
There was a lot of opposition.
The civil authorities opposed him. And they were falsely accused of things. They were, you know, the civil authorities were worried that they were breaking laws. The people who in various parts of the Mediterranean world that were philosophers that had different ideas said, you know, we don't know what these people are talking about. But they knew that this was the truth.
Mm-hmm.
And that this was more important to them than their lives.
Yeah.
It was more important to them than their reputation.
Mm-hmm.
So when you have, when the Holy Spirit gives you the zeal to preach the word, and you say, well, I better not say anything because everybody here is going to think I'm stupid, or everybody here is going to think I'm weird, or everybody here is going to be opposed to me. They didn't worry about that.
Yeah.
Because they had been emboldened. And all this opposition didn't stop them.
Right.
And when you look at, you know, all of those guys, I mean, look at Stephen.
Me?
No.
Oh.
The other one.
Oh, Stephen. Oh, the first Stephen.
First
Stephen.
Okay.
First Stephen.
Well, you too, but he was a little more dramatic.
Yes.
But, I mean, here's a guy who's, you know, he is, you know, if you read that in the book of Acts, I think it's chapter 7, is it?
Yeah.
I think it's 7. He verbally there in front of all these religious authorities describes the whole unfolding of the plan of salvation.
Yes.
And then they kill him.
Yes.
And now he could have said, wait a minute, you guys, please don't hurt me. Let me, I was just like trying to make a point here. And he didn't care that they were going to kill him.
Mm-hmm.
He went on and he did the whole story. And, you know, Paul and Peter and I mean, all the rest of these guys, no matter what the opposition was, this message was more important to them than their life and their reputation.
Right. Their relationship with God, with Jesus, was the most important thing. You know, if we look in the book of Acts in chapter 2, in starting in verse 42, this is right after Peter's first quote-unquote sermon after he was baptized in the Holy Spirit. And it says, they devoted themselves to the teaching of the apostles and to the communal life, to the breaking of the bread, and to the prayers.
Mm-hmm.
Awe came upon everyone, and many wonders and signs were done through the apostles. All who believed were together and had all things in common. They would sell their property and possessions and divide them among all according to each one's needs.
Mm-hmm.
Every day they devoted themselves to meeting together in the temple area and to breaking bread in their homes. They ate their meals with exultation and sincerity of heart, praising God and enjoying favor with all the people. And every day the Lord added to their number those who were being saved.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Growing congregation.
Growing congregation.
House churches, growing congregation. This was pretty cool. They preached at the temple. They had worship services in houses.
Mm-hmm.
You know, sang hymns, broke the bread, which of course is the Lord's Supper.
Right.
Plus they shared meals together.
Right.
They sang, they brought people, went in and said, wow, this is really cool. And they joined the fellowship.
Mm-hmm.
They evangelized who came in. And through the power of the Spirit, more and more people were added to these groups. I mean, it's really quite amazing. And this is kind of what, you know, we've been talking about here in these series where due to the action of the Holy Spirit, this was possible. I mean, Peter could never have done this on his own.
And that's what's so important is the power of the Holy Spirit, because they, and I know I've said this before, but they understood that they were sharers in that anointing of the Holy Spirit that came upon Jesus.
Yes.
The same Holy Spirit that empowered Jesus to minister, that he gave up his spirit. When he died, he gave up his spirit. That same Holy Spirit comes to them and sends them forth in ministry.
Yeah, exactly.
You know, and they understood that they shared in the anointing of Christ. The same anointing when he laid hands and healed the sick, they shared in that same anointing.
Yes. Yeah. And there were leaders among them that then took the message other places.
Right.
You know, that kind of organized things and made some order out of it.
Right.
But, you know, in Acts chapter 13, it talks about how, well, it says, as they ministered to the Lord and fasted, the Holy Spirit said, now separate to me Barnabas and Saul for the work to which I have called them. Then, having fasted and prayed, they laid hands on them and sent them away.
Yeah.
So I mean, here's the community of people. They're fasting. They're praying. They're, you know, of one mind. They really want to do this. And the Holy Spirit says, okay, set aside Barnabas and Saul, who then, of course, is going to be Paul. We're going to lay hands on him, and then they're going to go out. They're going to go on a mission trip. They were so filled with the Spirit, and they were so open to this that they went on the first mission trip.
Yeah. And I think the most important, well, not the most important thing, but one of the things that's important, including the fasting and the praying, is the waiting upon the word from the Lord.
Exactly.
They didn't, you know, when Jesus told them, stay here, pray, and wait for the Holy Spirit.
Exactly.
That was an example for them to follow. It's an example for us to follow today, even today.
Yes.
Is that we pray, we fast, and we wait upon the Lord to tell us the direction that he wants us to do.
And even in the upper room, they, you know, for 9 days, they prayed, they fasted, they read the word, they prayed, they had fellowship, they prayed. You know, they were getting ready because Jesus had told them that the Spirit was going to come, and they made themselves ready. Here, the groups prayed and fasted and read and had fellowship, and after all this prayer and fasting, the Holy Spirit says, okay, I want Saul and Barnabas to go do this. So they said, okay, laid hands on him, and they went.
And you see the fruit that it bore.
Yeah.
I mean, tremendous amounts of fruit. It's like this great harvest coming into the kingdom, you know?
Yeah.
And I think we've probably all have seen when, in our own lives as well, is that when we stepped ahead of the Lord, and we thought, you know, we got zealous for something, and we didn't wait.
Yeah, that happens to everybody.
I think it happens to everybody, and those are lessons. You know, those are good lessons to learn.
And the thing is too, when Saul/Paul and Barnabas went out, and the others went out, they didn't get to ride around in really nice chariots and everybody saying, oh, here comes Paul. Go step right over here. You know, we've got the red carpet out. We're going to have you preach at the synagogue, and then we're going to have some refreshments. And then we'd like you to hang around this afternoon so we could chat with you. No.
There wasn't any of that?
No. In 2 Corinthians, in 2 Corinthians chapter 11, this is verse 25 to 27, Paul says, from the Jews, 5 times I received 40 stripes minus one. 3 times I was beaten with rods. Once I was stoned. 3 times I was shipwrecked, a day and a night. I have been in the deep, in journeys often, in perils of water, in perils of robbers, in peril of my own countrymen, in peril of the Gentiles, in peril in the city, in perils in the wilderness, in peril in the sea, in peril among false brethren, weariness, toil, sleeplessness, and often hunger and thirst. That sounds like a great ministry.
how many of us want to sign up for that?
Yeah, it's a little different than the prosperity gospel.
That's a little bit.
And this was Paul. This was St. Paul, Saul of Tarsus, who went through these things. And if you read the book of Acts and you read his letters, you know, he talks about, they beat me and put us in prison, beat me, threw me outside. They threw me in the dungeon. They are shipwrecked. They're 3 days of floating around on the sea. But it's cool. I'm preaching the word.
I'm still going up.
Yeah, that's right. I preach all night. Guy dies. I go over, raise him from the dead. I keep preaching. Says, you know, we got to get this teaching done. I don't care if the guy dies. We'll go fix him later, but we got to do this. And, you know, his zeal was such that he's able to endure these things.
Yeah.
Now, here we are in, you know, the 21st century in 2011 saying, you know, I'd like to go to the prayer meeting tonight, but I'm kind of tired and I got a runny nose.
Yeah.
You know, maybe I'll just kind of too sick to go. Maybe I'll just hang out over here and stay home. And, you know, tomorrow night's the Bible study. I don't know. A guy whose teacher is really boring. I don't know if I'm going to go.
Yeah, or if you go to the home group and Phil didn't say hi to me last month, and I'm like, I don't know, should I go? I don't know.
That's right. And this is what we're faced with in our time, compared to 5 times I got 39 lashes and all these things, and You know, he's laying in the prison, him and Barnabas, and they're whipped, and their backs are raw.
Yeah.
And they're singing songs.
They're praising God.
They're praising God.
They're praising God.
And you know what? It really, their backs would have really hurt after getting whipped.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
But, and then they're preaching to the guard. Mm-hmm. You know, Paul's in house arrest in Rome, and he's like preaching to Caesar's guards.
Yeah.
I mean, okay, I'm in prison, but I still got to preach the gospel.
Exactly.
This is a total transformation.
Mm-hmm. You know, it, and it's through those experiences that Paul had. You know, when you read through the scripture, I mean, he just has some awesome prayers sometimes that he prays for these mm-hmm. communities.
Oh, yeah.
And, you know, as you're talking about that, one of them that I think of is in Ephesians, mm-hmm. and it's Ephesians 3, 14 mm-hmm. to 21. And he says, "For this reason I kneel before the Father, from whom his whole family in heaven and on earth derives its name. I pray that out of his glorious riches he may strengthen you with power through his Spirit in your inner being, so that Christ may dwell in your hearts through faith. And I pray that you, being rooted and established in love, may have power, together with all the saints, to grasp how wide and how long and how deep is the love of Christ, and to know this love that surpasses knowledge, that you may be filled to the measure of all the fullness of God. Now to him who is able to do immeasurably more than all we ask or imagine, according to his power that is at work within us, to him be glory in the church and in Jesus Christ throughout all generations forever. Amen."
Amen.
And he always gives praise and glory to God after the prayer.
Well, you notice all through his letters, you know, he suddenly breaks out in a prayer or a praise or a doxology. And it's like on the right in the middle of some serious teaching, all of a sudden it's like, whoa.
And this is a great prayer of intercession. Yeah. Our one friend is over in Israel right now, and she was writing back to us about how, you know, she's encountering some things in ministry there that she probably wasn't expecting to, but, you know, I sent her a few of these scriptures and, you know, she wrote back and said, "That was very encouraging. I really needed that."
Yeah.
And it's a great way to strengthen each other in the body of Christ, because we're in a battle.
That's right.
And as you're saying, Paul was beaten and he says this and he kept on going. And I think it's important for us today, the believers, no matter what denomination you are, because we're our one common denominator is Christ, that we need to strengthen each other. We need to show that love for each other because we're in and through Christ.
Yes, exactly.
Yeah.
Wow, well put. I hear Paul Wilbur again. We're going to take a little break here on the Gift of Grace on the Word 1220. Remember, giftofgraceministries.org. And look us up on Facebook, and we'll be back in just a minute.
Stay tuned. The Gift of Grace is coming right back, right here on AM 1220, WHKW, The Word.
He is, the universe declares his majesty. He is holy. He is, and we will see him lifted high, the King of glory magnified, and from our hearts a song of praise will rise. You are our God, and you will reign on high.
listening to The Gift of Grace on AM 1220, The Word.
Well, good evening and welcome back to the last segment of The Gift of Grace. Was that Paul Wilburn?
No, actually.
No.
Actually, I don't know if Paul could get up to that high soprano.
Yeah, it's a little high like there.
A little high for a tenor.
Yeah.
But that was Anna Paula,
right,
who is singing that song. It's called You Are, and that's off of Desert Rain. She has a beautiful voice, and she's from Brazil, and she is an anointed worship leader in South America. Yeah.
And we would strongly encourage you to go to WilburnMinistries.com and order the CD Desert Rain and order whatever else is there, too, because it's really awesome.
Order two of everything.
It's two of everything.
You'll be blessed by it.
Well, yeah. I said, boy, I hear Paul Wilbur again. And then Anna started singing.
an awesome worship song.
Oh, that's really awesome. So we're in the last segment here. And, you know, we were talking about how all these things happened to Paul. And he kept on preaching. And the other interesting thing that I like to think is, remember when we did... You might remember the woman at the well and some of these other things.
Did we do a show on that?
I think two.
Oh, okay.
Maybe it was three. I can't remember. But anyway, you know, we talked about how Jesus approached people where they were talked to them at a level they could understand and in their common experience, rather than saying really profound theological things to somebody who's just coming to get water out of the well. He uses that as the setup for, you know, using the terms for water and the well and the thirst and to evangelize her and then to have her evangelize others. Well, you know, Paul, who was a very intelligent guy and could hold his own with anybody and knew a lot of languages, including Greek, in Acts 17, when Paul's in Athens, you know, it's kind of cool because he's on the Areopagus, which is a hill in Athens. And the Greek philosophers used to gather there and talk about interesting things, you know, like what's real, what's not real, what's this, what's that, you know, what does it mean when this happens, that happens. You know, the Greek philosophers were, you know, very deep what
thinkers.
Is the real meaning of this and,
yeah.
you know, what's the perfect whatever it is. And so, you know, he encounters these guys. Now, these guys were not Jews. They didn't know anything about the Torah. They didn't know anything about the prophets. They didn't know anything about the patriarchs. And he starts to debate with them and to speak with them in terms that they understand. They're there. They've got all these temples to all these gods. And he sees this altar to the unknown God. So he goes, oh, well, here's the lead in.
Yeah.
I see you guys are really religious and you have all these gods. And I see you have this one here who's the unknown God. And you know, in case you miss a God, you know, this is included. He's included in this. But let me tell you about an unknown God who created everything. So they start listening. Now, it says there's Epicureans and there's Stoics. These are like opposite people. Epicureans are people that think you should live this really wonderful life and you should eat really good food and you should have all kinds of riches and you should have all kinds of really cool stuff. And the Stoics are people that are really disciplined and they sleep on rocks and they're just really... you know, hard people, they think you just discipline yourself by, you know, sleeping on a stone instead of a pillow. I mean, totally different people, but he approaches the two of them in terms they understand. You guys are worshiping what you don't know. You know, so he starts telling him about God. He tells him about Jesus and how there was a day of judgment coming and how Jesus was a savior and that he died and that he rose from the dead and they all needed to repent. Everyone needed to repent in order to be saved. And, you know, God had put up with this, all the things that the rest of the people in the world were doing. But now he wasn't going to put up with it anymore. This is a time now where you have to come to Jesus, understand who he is and repent. And, you know, part of their reaction was, what is this babbler trying to say?
Yeah.
You know, they call him a babbler because he's totally out of their sort of mainstream of people. But because they like to hear new ideas, he presents this as a new idea, knowing that they're going to listen. And then they say, well, you know, we're going to think about it. You know, we'll get back to you on this.
Right.
And, you know, we face that situation in our world. Like we said before, some people are going to mock you and say, that's nonsense.
Yeah.
I don't care what happened to that guy 2000 years ago.
Yeah.
We don't even want a cross on our football stadium, let alone being over here talking about crosses. But some people will say, well, let me think about that. I'm going to consider that. And some people are going to say, ooh, I never thought of that. Tell me more.
Yeah.
I'm going to come back tomorrow so you can tell me more. And, you know, this is the kind of thing that he so cleverly and intelligently used the people that were there in a way that their experience and their backgrounds would kind of resonate with what he was talking about.
Right.
I mean, if he'd have gone there and said, oh, let me tell you about Abraham and Isaac and Jacob, they would have been like, see ya.
Yeah.
Because that's not in their experience.
Right. They have no idea.
Right.
Yeah. He met them where they were at. He knew exactly what the Lord did.
Yeah.
You know, with the woman at the well and everybody else.
And we're in a similar situation.
Very similar.
We can't meet people who have no basic understanding of Christianity at all.
Right.
And start to pronounce all kinds of dogmas and theological treatises and, you know, have you read Augustine's Confessions? And, you know, as Thomas Aquinas said, you know, because they're going to say, whatever, they're going to walk away.
You know, I had a conversation with a young man a couple of weeks ago, and he was saying, well, do you believe that what goes around comes around? And I said, well, I believe that you'll reap the harvest that you sow.
Mm-hmm.
So I went there at Scripture and started talking a little bit. And it's, you know, like when we walk into a place and we see, you know, if we would have walked into that place in Greece and saw all those false gods, I mean, I know there's some people that just would have freaked out and go, oh my gosh, you know, this is demonic. And I got to tell them that this is sinful and everything. And instead of meeting them where they're at and proclaiming the gospel, because the gospel is the word of God.
Exactly.
And the word of God is alive and it pierces the heart and it'll penetrate their heart and it will transform them.
The double-edged sword.
Exactly. So we got to use the word of God, not our own, you know, emotions or words. Because if you're doing that, I think sometimes we all do it.
Yeah.
But you're not operating in the spirit.
That's an excellent point. Jesus talking to the tax collector and the prostitute and the thieves and the Pharisees saying, why is he talking to those people?
Mm-hmm.
Why does your master talk to sinners?
Yeah.
Why isn't he talking to us? We're holy guys. We're not sinners. Why is he talking to sinners?
Yeah.
Well, because that's who he's trying to reach.
Right.
That's the people that are in need of salvation. That's the people that are in need of grace. And he's approaching them where they are.
Mm-hmm.
And you made a good point, because many, many, you know, well-meaning, biblically versed Christians would have seen all that collection of Greek gods and said, oh, this place is totally demonic. This is total horrible idolatry. Rather than saying, gee, maybe we should explain to these guys what we believe.
Right. Yeah.
Yeah, that's very good.
Yeah.
Oh, I can't believe the show's over again.
Wow.
Can't believe it's going to be a week till we're back.
I know.
Now, this definitely is Paul Wilbur.
Yes, this is definitely Paul Wilbur.
Wow, it's great being with you tonight in the middle of this 4th of July weekend. Come to New Life Fellowship in Parma tomorrow morning and hear Steve and Sandy do some of this music, maybe even this song.
Come and worship with us tomorrow morning.
Come and worship with us. That'd be awesome. And www.giftofgraceministries.org. Facebook. Have an awesome evening and an awesome Lord's Day tomorrow.
Good night, everybody.
You've been listening to The Gift of Grace with Phil Giliotti and Stephen Garchar. Phil and Steve will be back next week when they will once again teach God's Word, proclaiming the kingdom and salvation in Jesus the Messiah, right here on AM 1220, The Word. Thanks and God bless.